We're going to dive into one of the more competitive state congressional districts here in Michigan. It's the 7th congressional district. The 7th and the 1st have traditionally, over the last several years, been one of the more competitive districts in the state. Republicans and Democrats from Washington, D.C. have put a very keen focus on these districts. With the upcoming elections in November, the Republicans currently hold a 246 to 186 seat advantage in the state house. There are some vacancies in there, but roughly the math works out that the Democrats need to take about 31, 32, 33 seats in order to take majority based on how all these other vacancies turn out. And the focus is going to be on the 7th congressional here in the state of Michigan. The Democrat that the Democrats hope will carry the day for them in the 7th Congressional District is Gretchen Driscoll. She is a state representative out of Saline, and she's joining us on the other end of the line. Good morning, Representative. How are you?
Great, Kyle. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Thanks for joining us on the program today. Why don't you give our listeners a little bit of your background on who you are and where you come from?
Sure. I come from New York. I moved to Michigan 28 years ago with a young family and got involved in the community of Saline as a volunteer. And that led to, we built some a rec center as chair of the fundraising committee there and really believe in getting involved as a community member, as a volunteer. And that led to being on city council and ultimately mayor for 14 years in Saline. I do come from a background of military service, multiple generations, and one of my core values is giving back to the community. So I've been very honored and privileged to have the opportunity to represent not only Saline for 20 years, but also now, I'm currently in my second term in the State House in Washtenaw County, which wraps around Ann Arbor, basically from the northeast corner of Washtenaw County all the way to the western side, and down to Manchester and Saline, so Chelsea, Whitmore Lake area. And I do have a background originally in accounting. I've passed my CPA and worked as an accountant in Washington, D.C. before I came here 28 years ago, and I'm currently a commercial realtor in addition to being a state representative.
Now, tell our listeners why you were interested in running for this congressional seat.
So, when I first ran, I will tell you, I was nonpartisan for 20 years, and I do have the support of both the previous congresspeople, Joe Schwartz and Mark Schauer, because I worked very closely with them on good policy. I'm hearing from my citizens and my constituents that they're feeling underrepresented or not represented, actually, in Washington, D.C., and there's a lot of frustration with what's been happening in our economy and education and just general that we could be having better representation in Washington. And I experienced some of the same frustration. As I mentioned, I worked for many years to help our communities, and I was involved actually across the state level with policymaking and federal from a local government perspective over the years I was in local government. So I do have a broad range of backgrounds that would help contribute to the communities and our citizens, and I'm running to be the voice for them and really represent the communities on the ground and have come from the perspective of representing the people of the district and making sure that we make sure that their jobs, we're in a big transition in the economy here with our manufacturing transition, and a lot of people are having job dislocation, and there's a lot of frustration with what's been happening and their representation in Washington, D.C.
You're listening to Current State on WKAR. I'm Kyle Malin, editor of the MERS newsletter, filling in for Mark Bearshore today. We've got State Representative Gretchen Driscoll on the other end of our line. She is the Democratic candidate in the 7th Congressional District. You just mentioned jobs. Would you say that jobs and the economy are the top issues that you're hearing from the constituents in the 7th?
Yeah, most definitely. I've been visiting a lot of areas in the 7th, and for those that don't know, that 7th is 7 counties. It includes my current state house district in Washtenaw County. It also includes the 4 counties along the Ohio border, so Monroe, Lenawee, Hillsdale Branch, and it goes up to Jackson and Eden County, ultimately to the southwest border of the city of Lansing. It's a big district with a lot of smaller communities that have had a transition in their manufacturing economy, and there's as I mentioned, dislocated workers that are really the communities are in transition and really jobs in the economy. And, you know, as mayor, I experienced this transition. We have what was a Ford plant at one point in Saline. That facility did transition into a Forcia is now leasing the building, and it's 1.5 million square feet, a very large building, actually one of the largest of its kind in the country, in the world. And also, we lost a major manufacturer, R&B Machine Tools, while I was, it was bought by another company, and then the book of business was sent to other states. So we do have a transition that's going on, and I've been visiting with chambers and local communities, senior centers, just any community organizations that are involved with what's happening at the local level, because that's really where the rubber hits the road, and we have not been having our voices heard effectively in Washington.
Now, you mentioned jobs in the economy. One of the big issues that we've been hearing on the presidential stage, at least here in Michigan, is the stance on trade and their support for NAFTA and TPP. What is your position on NAFTA and whether Congress should approve this Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal?
Well, the incumbent, Mr. Wahlberg, has actually said that NAFTA was good for us. And here in the 7th of that, we actually lost jobs, manufacturing jobs. And there, like I said, there's a lot of people that are in transition because of that in a very significant way with their economic fortune or frustration with what's happening. And so NAFTA actually was not good for some of especially our automotive workers. And then, so we need to fix NAFTA, make sure that, we don't just ship jobs overseas. So that's one of the things that we really need to be working on. And I plan on doing that at the local level, providing opportunities for training, retraining, because there is some gaps here right now in the way the manufacturing is transitioning. And, TPP is much of the same in that it's not addressing currency manipulation. Our car companies are not supportive of it right now because it is not helping our car companies in particular with a currency manipulation position. And, I came out right from the get-go when it was first, there was a legislation last year to fast-track the legislation for, or fast-track the agreement and the negotiating ability to fast-track that to give it to the president. And Mr. Wahlberg voted for fast-tracking. It's called a TPA. It is a really important issue in our district, and we do have a lot of work to do to make sure that we get good-paying jobs back in the communities in the 7th Congressional District. And I do have a track record of doing that as mayor of the community of Saline. We, as I mentioned earlier, have quite a few businesses, and Saline has been very successful in working with the businesses to make sure we get good-paying jobs there and keep as much economic activity as possible in the community.
Representative Driscoll, just to be clear here then, do you think the TPP just needs more work, or do you think that Congress should just reject it and throw it in the dumpster?
I think that I'm not supporting TPP.
Okay. So you're just not, okay. Here's another issue that's come out on the presidential stage. Donald Trump's alleged wall to Mexico, to build a wall along the southern border to keep illegal immigrants from crossing into the United States. Do you believe that we should build a wall along the southern border?
I believe that we should have secure borders, and I think that there are tools to do that. And I do think that we need to have a comprehensive immigration reform as part of that whole process of making sure that we have a country that works with, has a good immigration policy, because we do need to be, our country is based on supporting, a lot of the entrepreneurs that come and start businesses are foreign-born. There's a lot of documentation that there is huge economic benefit from diversity and entrepreneurs from other countries and workers from other countries. So we do need to have secure borders and we do need to have a comprehensive immigration reform. And I will tell you that there has been bipartisan effort out of the Senate in the past, and I think that's one of the things that we people are interested in seeing happen is less partisanship and more working towards solving the issues that are outstanding for our country.
But does a wall get us there? I mean, do you think in the end that a wall would help us?
Well, who's going to pay for the wall?
Mexico is, right?
I haven't heard that. Have you heard that?
Well, Donald Trump seems to think Mexico is going to pay for the wall.
Well, when Mexico says they're going to pay for the wall, then let's have that conversation. But I think, you know, we have national debt. I think saying somebody's going to pay for a wall when nobody said that they are is a lot of hyperbole. So I think we have a lot of things to work on, and I think we should be working on what's most important to my constituents, which is jobs and the economy.
One of the other issues that have come up, particularly in the last year, is Syrian refugees. And I just read an article about how the Oakland County executive, Brooks Patterson, wants to try and sue the federal government to keep Syrian refugees from being located in his county. Whether Syrian refugees are located in the United States or in Mexico or in Michigan is dictated by federal policy. And since you're running for federal office, I wanted to get your position. Are you okay with the current process and how we're relocating Syrian refugees in Michigan, since we are the second largest state in the country for accepting such refugees?
Well, there are communities here already. So, law-abiding citizens, and there is a vetting process for the refugees that come into our country, and it's a long process. So I do think that as long as we are smart and tough about how we welcome our refugees, but again, that's part of what our country is based on. We've had a history of in our country of welcoming refugees, and one of being I'm trying to remember the Statue of Liberty's quote at the bottom.
Give us your needy and your poor.
These are young children, so I think we really need to be. There is a very significant vetting process. If there is concern, should we be looking at addressing the vetting process? But I certainly do not believe that we should be closing our doors to refugees. I think that one of our values in our country that we're most proud of is, being a welcoming country to people from all walks of life, because that's one of our core values. And we need to have a safe country, and we need to make sure that we protect our citizens. But I do believe there is a way to do that and still be welcoming to refugees.
You're listening to Current State on WKAR. I'm Kyle Malin, editor of MERS, filling in for Mark Bayshore. We've been speaking with State Representative Gretchen Driscoll. She's the Democratic candidate in the 7th Congressional District. We only have a few minutes left in the program, but I did want to talk about some of the ads that have already started running in the 7th Congressional. And here in the Lansing media market, we've started to see plenty of them. There's a ad that the incumbent, Tim Walberg, has run that says that you are lying to constituents about whether you are a real estate broker or not. I'd like you to have an opportunity to address that and just kind of clear the record on whether you're a real estate broker or not.
So thank you for asking that question. I do really, it's very important to have a clear explanation out there, because the advertisements can be very misleading. I do have a license to practice as a real estate agent, and broker is used interchangeably nationally. As a matter of fact, on our website, where we keep all our profiles for all the realtors and our listings of properties, there's only one box to check. It says agent/broker. There is a license out there for a managing broker or an associate broker. I have never called myself that, and that's why you have used the word broker, and that, as I mentioned, is an agent and broker used interchangeably throughout the country. So I appreciate the opportunity to clear the air on that. Again, I do have a real estate license to practice real estate.
And just to be clarified, you are a commercial real estate broker or agent, and in that commercial right. real estate industry, the terms broker and agent are used interchangeably, where maybe if you're just dealing in residential, it's not necessarily as interchangeable.
Right.
Okay.
Well, all I know is that on our website, it's agent/broker, and there, you know, when this issue came up, we talked about it at length with the with a board of realtors, and this is a national standard, and it's a non-issue. So being made into an issue, that isn't necessary. I think, again, the people that I talk to out in the district when I go door-to-door are interested in what the person that represents them in Washington, D.C. will be doing for them. And I do have a track record of bringing business to the communities I work in, partnering with them on the ground for coming up with innovation solutions for solving challenging problems and working alongside the people in the communities that I represent. And I've been doing that in the State House also. And I know I have a track record of working hard and, most importantly, listening to the people that I represent.
Do you believe that the Congressman Tim Walberg is being honest with his constituents?
No. I think he's saying that he he's come out against this the TPP recently. He voted to fast-track it, as I mentioned. That was a vote that was, I think it was like 218 in favor and 211 against. So if he was really not supportive of the TPP, he didn't need to be a yes vote. And he's voted for every trade deal that has been put in front of him since he was elected. So his actions are totally different than what his statements are. And he's put out information saying that he wants to protect Social Security and Medicare. And again, if people look at how he voted, he has not voted to protect those. He has actually voted to privatize those and also to, the organization that supported him in his race against Joe Schwartz is a significant advocate for privatizing Social Security. So I think people need to do their own research, but I definitely... I think actions speak louder than words, and I urge everybody that's interested in this race to look at how I voted and what my actions are versus and what I say and what his actions are and what he says.
All right. We've been speaking with Representative Gretchen Driscoll, who is running in the 7th congressional race. Thanks for joining us on Current State this morning.
Well, it was great to talk with you, and thanks for the opportunity. I hope you have a wonderful day.
You too. And don't forget that we have a forum hosted by the League of Women Voters in Chelsea tonight at 6:30 at the Chelsea Retirement Community. If you're interested in learning more about this race or have your own questions for Representative Driscoll, you may be able to ask him at that time.